All right, so let's get into this and try to move forward. I got a lot of ground to cover. We got a lot of things to do. So we're going to jump back in to face your giants one more time. We've been talking about how to deal with those things in our lives that that hold us back from the promises of God and the life that God has already planned and given through you and I through his finished work. And, you know, we've been talking about those things like oppression and depression, the things that overwhelm us and intimidate us, and the things that keep us in bondage, if you will, to keeps us from doing what God called us to do. We said in the messages that God has called us to move mountains and to walk on water and to kill giants. Amen? And so, but we also have known over the last few weeks that sometimes, just sometimes, it feels like those mountains don't move. It feels like the storm, the water is too stormy to even walk upon, and it feels like those giants are never going to fall. And, you know, we've admitted over the last few weeks that we all, every one of us, we have giants in our lives, don't we? Things that stand between you and God and the promises that he has. And that's what we define giants as. We defined a giant. We said that a giant is anything that stands between you and the promises of God that seem impossible to overcome. And that's a giant. And it can be anything in your life that's holding you back. And it's okay. We said that it's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to lie about it. We also said that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And so we know that it's healthy to acknowledge that we have those things in our lives, those giants, if you will, things that are holding us back from the promises of God. So what are the promises of God? I want to just go over these really quick with you. I know I'm kind of backtracking a lot, but I'm going to try to wind it down today. Promises of God, those are all the things that belong to us now through the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And those are things like peace and breakthrough and freedom and healing and redemption and wholeness. Those are the things that belong to us in Jesus' name. And giants, the giants that we have in our life, it seems like the more that we look at them, the more impossible they seem to overcome. And we said that giants are things like anxiety and fear and stress and depression and worry and anger and addiction and insecurity and pride and control and religion and bitterness, all of these things. And the list can go on and on. There's an endless list, it seems like. And what I want us to understand is that this message is not just about dealing with that one giant in your life. And I know some of you are like, man, if I could just get rid of this one giant, everything would be okay. But that's not my hope for you today. My hope for you today is that we're teaching you how to live a lifestyle of dealing with the giants in your life. I mean, think about this. Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel, who takes the children of Israel into the promised land that God had promised for them, and it was full of giants. We know that the spies went over and said it's full of giants. And so God shows up to Joshua one day, and he tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous. He said, do not be terrified and do not be discouraged, for I will be with you wherever you go. You see, I'm sure when God told that to Joshua, I'm sure Joshua thought, okay, God, I can do that. I know how to face, I've learned how to face a giant. I'll go fight that giant. But you see, that's not the way it was. It wasn't just one giant when Joshua got there. When he got there, it wasn't one giant. It wasn't five giants. It wasn't 10, 20. It wasn't even 30 giants. If we look in Joshua 12:7, we'll find out, it says, these are the kings of the land that Joshua and the Israelites conquered. And you can go on and you can read the list. There were 31 kings that Joshua and kingdoms that he had to fight and defeat to take the promised land. And I want you to understand that these are not just kings. These are giant kings. You see, the land is full of giants. These are giant kings. And guess what every giant king has? He has a giant, he has a full army of giants. Amen? And so he didn't just fight 31 giants. He fought 31 kings, giant kings with giant kingdoms full of giant people. And it wasn't about just that one and done for him. And it's not about that for us. It was about learning to live a lifestyle of moving forward, of going to the new places that God has planned for you and for them. And can I tell you that just because you defeat that one giant that's here with you today, it doesn't mean that there's not 30 more coming down the pipe. And I know you're saying, isn't church supposed to be a place of encouragement? Well, it is. It is, okay? So I want us to take a look, and let's look at our theme verse, Romans 8, 37. In all these things, everybody say that with me, in all these things, against any and every giant, basically, is what it's saying right there. It says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. Amen. And so what we're doing is that we're learning from some different lessons of how to face the giants in our lives. We're learning some physical stories of the Old Testament, these giant killers of the Old Testament, and we're taking a look at their life and how they killed them and how it's going to help us. And so we've been over lessons 1 through 4 already, and today I'm going to try it. We're going to start with lesson 5, and we're going to just keep moving, okay? So lesson 5, if you want to face your giants, you have to change your thinking and change your living. Change your thinking and change your living, okay? The reason we live defeated lives is because we have broken thinking. We have worldly thinking if we're honest with ourselves. Our thoughts are mostly influenced by the giants that are in our lives more than it is by the God that we serve. And then we go around and we wonder why. Why does the giant always seem to win? It's because we have broken thinking. And here's what I want you to remember, that the battle is not out there. The battle is in here, okay? Your giants are not out there. And I hate to break this to some of you, but your giants are not the people in your life. Your giants are not your boss. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. There's not a physical giant that's like Goliath standing 9 feet tall waiting on your front porch every time you get up in the morning to walk you out the door, is there? There's just not. There's no giants that are out there. Your giants are in here. It's your anxiety. It's your stress. The anxiety that's in here, not out there. Depression and shame and all those things that we mentioned earlier. You see, the battle is in here this morning. And we said a few weeks ago that Jesus has all the authority. And if Jesus has all the authority, then your giant has none. Right. And that's why, we ask ourselves, so why does it seem like the giant is always winning? It's because we empower him through human agreement. We discussed about that. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar. And when you're allowing him to shape your thoughts, he ultimately shapes your life. I mean, look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. It says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. So you see, we're in a real battle, but it's a spiritual battle, okay? In spiritual battles, they require spiritual weapons, not physical ones. Let's continue. It says, on the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make them obedient to Christ. So here's what that's saying, is it's saying you're in a battle, but the battle's not out there, the battle's in here. And it says that you have strongholds in your life. And you say, what is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold against you. I'm a genius, right? I'm sure that Webster's thinking, man, if this guy would have done the dictionary, it'd only been a pocket size. But a stronghold or a giant, they have a stronghold, and that stronghold keeps you from moving forward and experiencing the life that God has planned for you. And he says that in this verse, he says that we have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Did you know you have that power? Yes. We have that to defeat the giants that are in our life right now. And how do we do that? We do it by taking captive our thoughts and bringing them into submission and to surrender them to the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you want to deal with your giants in your life, you have to learn how to take your thoughts and bring them into alignment with the finished work of Jesus. So here's what I want to ask you to do. When you think of your giants, or your thought life, if you will, every time you do that, every time you have a thought, I want you to ask yourself 2 questions, and I have them put up here. First one, does this thought glorify God? And second of all, does it align with the finished work of Jesus? And if it doesn't, then you've got to capture it. You've got to capture it, and here's what you got to do. You got three things to do. You've got to remove it, you got to release it, and then you got to replace it. All right? That sounds really good, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, when that depressing thought comes to you and it comes in, my question is, does that depressing thought glorify God? No. So what do we need to do? We need to remove it, release it, and replace it with the truth. The truth that God has filled my life with hope. Amen? So when that insecurity or that shame starts taking off in here, and it starts thinking, make you think about how bad of a person you are, and that nobody loves you, and that you're all alone. What's wrong with me sometimes that we think that, don't we? But what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves this question. Does it align? Is this thought glorifying? Does it align with the finished work of God? And if it doesn't, which it doesn't, insecurity and shame doesn't align up with his thinking, we have to remove it, replace it, release it and replace it with the truth that we're forgiven and that we're wanted in Jesus. And so we're trying to figure out when our giant starts winning and our questions, we question our belief and and does Jesus even know my name? Does he love me? We have to take and replace those thoughts, right? We have to remove it, release it, and replace it. And here's the deal. We have to stop waiting for Jesus to do what he's already empowered and told us to do. That's not easy. That's not easy. But what we have to do is we have to stop waiting for Jesus to do what he's already told us to do. And half the time, we're waiting on Jesus to defeat the giant in our mind whenever he's telling us. He says, look, I've given you divine power. I've given you divine power to take down and to capture any and every thought and bring it into submission to what he's already done on the cross. You got to take responsibility, though, if you're serious about this. And I mean, let's look at the next verse, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't allow the giants to shape your thoughts. Allow God to shape your thoughts. Don't believe the giants' lies. Believe God's truth. Don't let the giants conform you or shape you or press you into the pattern of this broken world. Instead, what we have to do is we become changed or transformed, and we have to be lifted up and become that new person and a new life by changing the way we think and choosing to agree with God regardless of how we feel. And this is why Jesus' main message is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. So let me ask you a question real quick. Has anybody in here ever been stuck in a rut? And I don't mean like a rut of your life. I'm talking about a real rut where you're driving a pickup truck or a four-wheeler or something, and you're going down a path, and so many vehicles have been going down it that it gets so deep and rutted up, and you get down in it. It doesn't matter how much you turn. It doesn't matter how much gas you get. You're going to go, and you're going to have to follow that path to where it's already designated. The only way to get out of that rut, if you don't want to end up where it's at, is to stop and to back up. You have to stop and back up. And let me tell you, that's what we have to do in our minds sometimes. What we have to do when we get in a rut in our thinking, we have to stop and we have to back up and we have to renew our mind by God's word so that we can move forward and take the path that God has given for each and every one of us. Instead of following that rut to the front door of our giant and asking him, okay, we ended up here at the giant's house. How did I get here? It's because we didn't stop. We didn't back up. We didn't seek the Lord. We didn't let his word renew our mind and change our path. And so we have to create a new path, and it's paved with God's truth. That path is going to be paved with God's truth. If you look in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, if we want to create a path of faith that takes us away from our giant and into the kingdom of God, we need to hear God's word. We need to have messages preached over our lives. We need to engage in the scriptures for ourselves. We need to surround ourselves and fill ourselves, our minds, with the worship music that's out there. We need friends to surround us who talk faith with us. If we want to create a new road that doesn't take us to the giant's front door, we need God's truth to pave that new path and take us to that deep place in his kingdom that he desires for us to be. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
All right. So my question to you is, are you paving new paths or are you stuck in old ruts? That's a good question to ask ourselves this morning, because that's going to determine whether or not you have the victory over your giant. In fact, I love Psalms 19:14. It says, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." You see, the words of your mouth reveal to us and to everyone else the thoughts of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the question is, are they pleasing and do they glorify God? Are they aligned with the finished work of Jesus? And when you say, why does that even matter? I think sometimes we wonder, why does this even matter? It's because whoever shapes your thoughts shapes your life. Whoever shapes your thoughts shapes your life. So see, it's not just about changing your thinking. It's also about changing your living. And think about this for a second. Let's say you went to the doctor, and some of you have already faced this. You went to the doctor and you got diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor says, "Hey, you know, you've got a cancer inside your body." Can I tell you, when you leave that doctor's office, I've been there, and I know. When I left that doctor's office, I was ready to change everything about my life. I was ready to change the way I eat. I was ready to start working out, and good Lord knows I don't like doing that. I was willing to do anything. I was willing to change how I sleep, take medicine, do whatever I needed to do, you know. And so I was so humbled by it and so honest that I was asking people for prayer. And, you know, when you get news like that, you're willing to do just about anything, aren't you? And you get desperate and you start crying out, and you'll come down to the front and ask to be anointed by oil by the end of the service. You're just so humbled by it. But what you're doing is you're ready to change everything about your life because you want to starve that cancer out. Can I tell you that a giant is like a cancer in your life, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you? And what a lot of us are looking for sometimes is we're looking for that quick fix. We want to take that one pill, or we want to go to one counseling session, or we want to come and hear one of the messages on how to face your giant, and we want to expect every giant in our life to fall. Can I tell you, that's pretty funny. It's not going to happen. You've got to get in here, and you've got to be desperate, and you've got to want and desire your giants to fall, because that's not how it works. We've got to learn how to starve our giants. Think about it. When you stop feeding something, it actually dies, doesn't it? And so what we have to do is we got to stop feeding our giant and start defeating your giant in Jesus' name. You say, what does that mean? It means that you've got to stop doing the things that adds to the giant's power in your life. Like, I know a guy that his giant is anger, and he can't listen to talk radio anymore because it feeds his giant. I know a woman that has insecurity issues, and she knows that she can't get on Facebook and social media and stuff because all it does is feeds her giant of insecurity. People with anxiety, you probably don't need to be watching the news every night before you go to bed because it feeds your giant. And you say, "Well, Pastor Jack, that's just dumb. We can do those things." No, that's called wisdom. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that's called wisdom. And that's called, I would rather be free from the things like that in this world and stop feeding my giant and start feeding my spirit. That's what that is. And what do you need to do to change in your life so that you can stop feeding your giant? I think you need to ask yourself that question this morning. Does your job feed your giant? If it does, you need to get another job. Does your routine feed your giant? Change your routine. Do your friends, come on, do your friends feed your giant? Help me, come on. Sometimes we hang around with the wrong people and they take us down the wrong path, don't they? And so what do we have to do? We have to change our friends. Stop feeding your giant and start feeding your spirit today. The reason your giant's still alive today is because it's feeding off of how you're living. That one's a tough one. It came to me first. The reason your giant is still alive today is because you're feeding, it's feeding off of how you're living. It's time to change some of the things that we're doing. It's not just about what we remove, though. It's also about what we add. Amen? So here's another question for you. Do your thoughts take you to your giant's front door, or do they take you to God's kingdom? And do your actions feed that giant, or do they feed your spirit? These are some good questions this morning. And if you want to deal with the giant in your life, you've got to change your thinking, and you've got to change your living. Amen? Let's get to lesson number six. It's simply this, is if you want to continue moving forward and killing giants, you got to hang out with some giant killers. Amen. If you want to face your giants and you want to find victory, you need to hang out with giant fillers and killers. Can I tell you, that's just basic logic for most of us, isn't it? If you want to be a great athlete, you hang around other great athletes. If you want to be have a great family, you want to hang out with another family that has great family values. Same is true if you want to kill your giant, you need to hang out with some giant killers. Hang out with the people who are battle-scarred and tested and warriors, and they know how to use the weapons that God has given each and every one of us. He didn't give them a weapon that he hasn't given you, amen? And so we have to hang out with them. We have to listen to their stories about how they fought their giant. And we need to see their scars. So that'll give us faith to move forward in our own life. And we can hang out with them. Think about Joshua. You see, he didn't wake up one day and just become one of the greatest giant killers of all time. Do you know what Joshua did for the 40 years before he got to the moment where he was taking the children of Israel into the promised land? He was Moses' servant. He wasn't Moses' servant for 40 minutes or for 40 days, for 40 years. For 40 years, he set himself at the feet of Moses, and he says, Moses, he says, I want to learn how to kill giants. I want to learn how to think. I want to learn how to live. I want to learn how to have the faith that you have. I want to know and be aware of the presence of God when he's around me. I want to learn how to do that and be a giant killer in Jesus' name. And that's why he was able to kill 31 giant kings and their kingdoms. Or how about David? You see, David, he kills Goliath, one of the biggest giants in the Bible. And David runs at him, and he picks up the five smooth stones, and he takes his sling, and he sends it to him, and he says, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And he slings that rock, and it hits Goliath, and Goliath dies, and the whole army, they begin to run away, and they get the victory in Jesus' name. And so do you realize that after that, David starts to build an army? After he does this, after he kills Goliath, and years go by, he starts building an army. And these are men that are coming, and they're gathering around David, and David teaches them how to become giant killers. In fact, here's a little bit of something you might not know, is that Goliath had four relatives in that battle that day. And that's why David picked up the five stones. You see, he wasn't afraid he was going to miss on the first one. He thought he was going to, if there's five of them, I'm going to take them all out. You see, he was that confident in his God that he was going to be able to take them out all out. And so he didn't pick it up because of that, because he was afraid he was going to miss. He was ready for battle. Are we ready for battle today? Can I tell you this? You see, those men, they gathered around David because they wanted to learn how to be a giant killer. David taught them and he discipled them and he told them stories about his own battles, and that's how they became giant killers. So who do you gather around when you have a giant in your life? Do you gather around people who face their giants, or do you gather around people who run from their giants? Do you hang around people who are victims of their giants, or do you hang around people who are victorious over their giants? People who tolerate their giants, or people who take on their giants? Amen? Who do you hang out with? Proverbs 13:20 tells us this. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So to paraphrase that for you this morning, whoever you hang out with, that's who you're going to become like. So look at the people that you're hanging out with and ask yourself, do I want to be like them? That's my question this morning. Are they giant killers, or are they living in the shadow of the giant that's in their life? Because I hate to break this to you, this is telling us very plainly that we'll become just like them. You said, nah, not me. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be like that person. I'm going to tell you, if you hang around them long enough, you're going to become like them. That's why I like hanging around giant killers. I love listening to their stories. I love seeing their battle scars. And I just listen whenever they're talking. And it builds my faith and it feeds my spirit. Let me hear me. You need to hear the stories of the warriors around you. You need to hear the stories of the people that are finding victory over their anxiety, over their fear, over their pornography addiction, over their brokenness, over their pain, whatever it is. You need to hear the stories of their life so that it'll encourage you to get up and kill the giant of in your life. And that's, you say, where am I going to find a giant killer like that? Right here. There's plenty of them in this room right here. There's a lot of giant killers in this room. Amen? Amen. Find somebody. Ask them how they're dealing with their struggle, their giant, and let them help you. All right, let's go to lesson number 7 really quick. I'm trying to get to my bonus lesson this morning. I really feel like God has laid that on my heart. Lesson number 7 is this. Get up again. Get up again. Because guess what? There's going to be some days that your giant's going to win. He's going to knock you down. There's going to be some days that he defeats you and you feel like you've lost the battle. But I want you to remember that Jesus has already won the war. When you get knocked down, I want you to get back up again. And I want you to remember lesson number 3. Remember lesson number 3 was know that your giant has already been defeated in Jesus' name. You see, you may have walked in here this morning and your giant has knocked you down this week. But I want to tell you, get up again. Shame and stress and anxiety and fear and depression and pornography and drugs. You may have been knocked down this week, but I want you to get back up. Get back up. Don't lay there. Get back up. In Jesus' name. You see, God's word tells us that his mercy is new every morning. Wow. You see, every morning there's a fresh mercy and a fresh grace for you and I. There's no shame or condemnation in this place. God is saying to you, come on, let's get back up. Get up again. Proverbs 24:16, it says this. It says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. You see, a righteous man falls 7 times. Can I tell you the only difference between a righteous man and an unrighteous man is? The only difference is that a righteous man gets up again. You want to know how they're exactly alike? Is that they both fall. You see, you can't condemn somebody. You can't judge somebody because they've fallen. They just got to get back up. Hallelujah. A righteous man is someone who's been restored by the faith that they have in Jesus. You see, so there's grace upon their life that when they've fallen, even though they've fallen 7 times, they can get back up again because they refuse to allow a temporary loss become a permanent defeat. Some of you walked in here this morning and you're bloodied. You're scarred. You're battered and you're bruised from your giant that defeated you this week. But I'm telling you, God is telling you this morning that his grace is sufficient. Get up again this morning. Get up again. And I know I've been talking fast because I've been wanting to get right here. Here's what the Lord laid on me this morning. You see, you got to deal with your giants so that the next generation doesn't have to. I want you to think about David for a minute. David should have never, ever had to fight Goliath. I want you to realize this. You see, the generations earlier, when God told Joshua to go in and to take the land, he told him, he said, I want you to kill every single giant in the land. And can I tell you, we find out that that didn't happen. Because we see later on, generations down the line, that there's a giant named Goliath. That means that some giant slipped through and he was able to multiply and reproduce. And so that there was a new giant coming into the land. And so David should have never had to fight that if his forefathers would have done what they were supposed to do and to kill every giant in the land. There wouldn't have been a giant for David to face. There wouldn't have been 31 giant kingdoms. They didn't finish the job. And so what one generation tolerated, another generation had to deal with. And so by the time we get to David, he shouldn't have had to fight that giant. And so when, don't get mad at me, but when you refuse to deal with the giants in your life, you have to understand that they're going to multiply in your children's life. You empower what you tolerate. And some of you that are in this room, you've had to spend your whole life fighting giants that your parents and grandparents should have defeated years ago. And because they didn't go into battle, and they didn't fight their giants, they multiplied. And I'm sorry that you've had to face them, and I'm sorry that you've had to fight them. But I want to tell you, if you don't fight them, your children's going to. Our future generations are going to have to fight what you and I are willing to stand up and fight this morning. This is the children's pastor coming out in me, because I love your kids. And I don't want them to have to face giants that I wasn't willing to stand up and fight, or that you weren't willing to. And if you don't have the courage to stand up and do it for yourself, please have the resolve to do it for your kids, for your grandkids. Let me tell you something. Your kids don't need more stuff. They need less giants. They don't need more stuff. They need less giants in their life. Don't spend your life making money, trying to acquire stuff, all that junk. Your kids don't need that. They need less giants in their life. I know it's going to cost you something, but I'm going to tell you, it could cost them everything. It may cost you something today, but later on it might cost them everything. Don't hand your kids anxiety. Don't hand your kids depression. Don't hand your kids that fear. Don't hand them that addiction to pornography. Don't hand them the giants that you should be fighting this morning. That shame and insecurity and loneliness. Don't hand your kids a battle that God has empowered you and me to win already today. Amen. That's why I don't want a single giant walking out of this door this morning. Every giant that came in here, I hope and pray that he falls in Jesus' name this morning, so that our generations next week and next year and down the line, they don't have to face these giants. Amen. David should have never had to fight Goliath. And there's some battles that you and I should never have to fight. But let's be honest, we all have giants in our lives, don't we? Who cares what physical giants or what physical stuff that we leave our kids at the end of our life? I want to leave my kids the kingdom of God, free and clear of the giants that I've had to spend in my lifetime fighting, so that they can stand there and they can live a life of freedom and victory in all the life that God has for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me close with this. Romans 8:37 has been our verse for this whole thing. I want to add 38 and 39 to it this morning. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, this is saying that I'm convinced that there's no giant that can keep me from the promises of God. In Jesus' name, it's time to face our giants. It's time to rise up and to say, "I'm tired of a giant squatting on my life." It belongs to me, and it belongs to you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen this morning. I want you to stand with me, if you will. My prayer for you today is that you'll take these lessons that we've talked about over the last few weeks, and you'll apply them to your life. And if you do, you're going to be victorious in Jesus' name. So I want you to close your eyes this morning, and I just want to simply ask you, what's God saying to you this morning? My sense is that for some of you here this morning, this is where it's fixing to get real. This is the moment where all of a sudden you realize that maybe you need to take this Jesus thing just a little bit more serious. If you're here this morning and all you've kind of been on the fence and you're kind of in and you're kind of out, can I tell you, it's time for us to get serious this morning. It's time for us to say, look, I'm tired of these giants in my life, and I am not about to let these giants live another day so that they can become a giant in my children's lives. It's time for us to stand up this morning and say, well, we're going to defeat these giants in Jesus' name. And so I just want to pray with you this morning, and I just want to ask the Lord to help you defeat the giants in your life. But before we do that, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you're fighting this giant on your own, let me tell you, you don't have a chance of winning. These giants have been fighting a lot longer than you have. And they know how to defeat you if you're doing it on your own. But I can tell you, Romans 8:37, it tells us that we can conquer those giants, any and every one of them. All you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart and say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. You performed a work upon that cross to give me a future and a hope. And I receive that forgiveness, and I receive it into my heart this morning so that I can be a child of the King, so that I can be on the winning team, the one that's going to defeat the giants, because you've already defeated them in Jesus' name. If that's you and you need Jesus in your heart, I want you to just raise your hand this morning and say, Pastor Jack, I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer. I want us to all pray that together. And then I'm just going to pray over you this morning that God would help each and every one of us become the giant killer, and that not a single giant walks out that door this morning. Father God, we come to you this morning, and I'm thankful for those that have raised their hands to receive you as their Savior. And Father, this morning as they come to you, Lord, I pray that they will just say, Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away with your precious blood. I believe that you died for me. You rose again. And now you're at the right hand of the Father interceding on my behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Make me victorious over every giant in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray with you this morning. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your saving power. Let's pray together that God would not allow a single giant to walk out of this room. And Father God, I just come to you this morning, Lord, and I know that every giant in this room has already been defeated. He may not have fallen. He might be defeated, but he's still fighting. And so, God, this morning, I just pray that this morning, before we leave this room, that each and every one of us would call upon your name and we would say, Jesus, I need you to help me defeat the giant in my life, whatever it is, whether it's fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, whatever it is, God, there's nothing is too big for my God. And so, Father, right now, I pray that we'd become giant killers in this place. Father, that every giant that is represented here today would be defeated in the name of Jesus so that it doesn't transfer on down the line. It doesn't increase and multiply into our children. And Father, that we may be this generation that takes it back. And Father, we go into the land that you have promised each and every one of us. You've given us all borders. You've all given us a path for our life. And God, I pray that you'd help us to walk that path in victory this morning, and that no giant would live to see another day in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you this morning. God bless you.